Hello, podcast friends. Your host, Pedro Diaz, Peter Days. I just got one word for you today. Discipline. Guys, I'm back. And the word was discipline on my podcast, and I have to come back and finish this Great Gatsby book that I've been reading for you. So let's get to it. The Great Gatsby, Chapter 5. When I came home to West Egg that night, I was afraid for a moment that my house was on fire. 2 o'clock, and the whole corner of the peninsula was blazing with light, which fell unreal on the shrubbery and made a thin, elongating glints upon the road side riot wires. Turning a corner, I saw that it was Gatsby's house, lit from tower to cellar. At first, I thought it was another party, a wild rut that had resolved itself into a hide-and-go-seek, or sardines in the box. With all the house thrown open to the game, but there wasn't a sound, only wind in the trees, which blew the wires and made the lights go off and on again, as if the house had winked into the darkness. As my taxi groaned away, I saw Gatsby walking toward me across his lawn. "Your place looks like the World's Fair," I said. "Does it?" He turned his eyes toward it absently. I have been glancing into some of the rooms. "Let's go to Coney Island, old sport, in my car." "It's too late." "Well, suppose we take a plunge in the swimming pool. I haven't made use of it all summer. I got to go to bed." "All right." He waited, looking at me with suppressed eagerness. "I talked with Miss Baker," I said after a moment. "I'm going to call up Daisy tomorrow and invite her over here to tea." "Oh, that's all right," he said carelessly. "I don't want to put you to any trouble. What day would suit you?" "What day would suit you?" he corrected me quickly. "I don't want to put you to any trouble, you see." "How about the day after tomorrow?" He considered for a moment, then with reluctance, "I want to get the grass cut," he said. We both looked at the grass. There was a sharp line where my ragged lawn ended and the darker, well-capped expanse of his began. I suspected that he meant my grass. "There's another little thing," he said uncertainly, and hesitated. "Would you rather put it off for a few days?" I asked. "Oh, it isn't about that, at least." He fumbled with a series of beginnings. Why, look here, old sport. You don't make much money, do you?" "Not very much." This seemed to reassure him, and he continued more confidently. "I thought you didn't. If you'll pardon me, you see, I carry on a little business on the side, a sort of sideline, you understand? And I thought, if you don't make very much, you're selling bonds, aren't you, old sport? Trying to. Well, this would interest you. It wouldn't take up much of your time, and you might pick up a nice bit of money. It happens to be rather confidential sort of thing. I realize now that under different circumstances, that conversation might have been one of the crises of my life, but because of the offer was obviously and tactlessly for a service to be rendered, I had no choice except to cut him off there. I got my hands full, I said, and I'm much obliged, but I couldn't take on any more work. You wouldn't have to do any business with Wolfheim. Evidently, he thought that I was shying away from the Gognagnation mentioned at lunch. But I assured him he was wrong. He waited a moment longer, hoping I'd begin a conversation, but I was too absorbed to be responsive. So he went unwillingly home. The evening had made my light-headed and happy. I think I walked into a deep sleep as I entered my front door. So I didn't know whether or not Gatsby went to Coney Island, or for how many hours he glanced into rooms. While his house blazed godly on, I called up Daisy from the office next morning and I invited her to come to tea. "Don't bring Tom," I warned her. "What?" "Don't bring Tom." "Who is Tom?" she asked innocently. The day agreed upon was pouring rain. At 11 o'clock, a man in a raincoat dragging a lawnmower tapped at my front door and said that Mr. Gatsby had sent him over to cut my grass. This reminded me that I had forgotten to tell my Finn to come back. So I drove into West Egg Village to search for her among soggy, whitewashed alleys and to buy some cups and lemons and flowers. The flowers were unnecessary, for at 2 o'clock a greenhouse arrived from Gatsby with innumerable receptacles to contain it. An hour later, the front door opened nervously and Gatsby, in a white flannel suit, silver shirt, and a gold-colored tie, hurried in. He was pale. There were dark signs of sleeplessness beneath his eyes. "Is everything all right?" he asked immediately. "The grass looks fine. Is that what you mean?" "What grass?" he inquired blankly. "Oh, the grass in the yard." He looked out the window at it, but judging from his expression, I don't believe he saw a thing. "Looks very good," he remarked vaguely. "One of the papers said that they thought the rain would stop about 4. I think it was the Journal. Have you gotten everything you need in the shape of tea?" I took him into the pantry, where he looked a little reproachfully at the Finn. Together, we scrutinized the 12 lemon cakes from the Delicatessen shop. "Will they do?" I asked. Of course, they are fine," he added hollowly. "Old sport." The rain cooled about 3:30 to a damp mist through which occasionally a thin drops of swan-like dew. Gatsby looked with vacant eyes through a copy of Clay's Economics, starting that finished thread that shook the kitchen floor, and peering toward the blear windows from time to time as if a series of invisible but alarming happenings were taking place outside. Finally, he got up and informed me in an uncertain voice that he was going home. "Why is that?" "Nobody's coming to tea. It's too late." He looked at his watch as if there was something pressing demand on his time elsewhere. "I can't wait all day." "Don't be silly. It's just 4:02. He sat down miserably, as if I had pushed him. And simultaneously, there was the sound of a motor turning into my lane. We both jumped, and a little harrowed myself, I went out into the yard. Under the dripping bare lilac trees, a large open car was coming up the drive. It stopped. Daisy's face tipped sideways beneath a 3-corner lavender hat, looked at me with a bright, ecstatic smile. "Is this absolutely where you live, my dearest one?" The accelerating ripple of her voice was a wild tonic in the rain. I had to follow the sound of it for a moment, up and down, with my ear alone before any words came through. A damp streak of hair lay like a dash of blue paint across her cheek. And her hand was wet with glistening drop as it took it to help her from the car. "Are you in love with me?" she said low in my ear. "Or why did I have to come alone?" "That's the secret of Castle Rackrent. Tell your chauffeur to go far away and spend an hour." "Come back in an hour, Freddy." Then, in a grave murmur, "His name is Ferdy. "Does the gasoline affect his nose?" "I don't think so," she said innocently. "Why?" We went in. To my overwhelmingly surprised, the living room was deserted. "Well, that's funny," I explained. "What's funny?" She turned her head as there was a light, dignified knocking the front door. I went out and I opened it. Gatsby, pale as death, with his hands plunged like weights in his coat pockets, was standing in a puddle of water, glaring tragically into my eyes. With his hands still in his coat pockets, he stalked by me into the hall, turned sharply as if he were on a wire, and disappeared into the living room. It wasn't a bit funny. Aware of the loud beating of my own heart, I pulled the door to against the increasing rain. For half a minute, there wasn't a sound. Then from the living room, I heard a sort of choking murmur and part of a laugh, and followed by Daisy's voice on a clear, artificial note. I am awfully glad to see you again. A pause. It endured horribly. I had nothing to do in the hall, so I went into the room. Gatsby, his hands still in his pockets, was reclining against the mantelpiece in a strained counterfeit of perfect ease, even of boredom. His head leaned back so far that it rested against the face of a defunct mantelpiece clock. And from this position, his distraught eyes stared down at Daisy, who was sitting, frightened but graceful, on the edge of the stiff chair. "We met before," muttered Gatsby. His eyes glanced momentarily at me, and his lips parted with an abortive attempt at a laugh. Luckily, the clock took this moment to tilt dangerously at the pressure of his head, whereupon he turned and caught it with trembling fingers and set it back into place. Then he sat down rigidly, his elbow on the arm of the sofa and his chin in his hand. "I'm sorry about the clock," he said. My own face had now assumed a deep tropical burn. I couldn't muster up a single commonplace out of the thousand in my head. "It's an old clock," I told him idiotically. I think we all believed for a moment that it had smashed in pieces on the floor. "We haven't met for many years," said Daisy, her voice as matter-of-fact as it could ever be. 5 years next November. The automatic quality of Gatsby's answers set us all back at least another minute. I had them both on their feet with a desperate suggestion that they help me make tea in the kitchen when the demoniac Finn brought it in on a tray. Amid the welcome confusion of cups and cakes, a certain physical distance established itself. Gatsby got himself into a shadow, and while Daisy and I talked, looked conscientiously from one to the other of us with tense, unhappy eyes. However, as calmness wasn't an end in itself, I made an excuse at the first possible moment and got to my feet. "Where are you going?" demanded Gatsby, immediate alarm. "I'll be back." I got to speak to you about something before you go." He followed me wildly into the kitchen, closed the door, and whispered, "Oh God," in a miserable way. "What's the matter? This is a terrible mistake," he said, shaking his head from side to side. "A terrible, terrible mistake. You're just embarrassed, that's all." "And luckily," I added, "Daisy's embarrassed too." "She's embarrassed," he repeated incredulously. "Just as much as you are." "Don't talk so loud. You're acting like a little boy," I broke out impatiently. "Not only that, but you are rude. Daisy's sitting there all alone." He raised his hand to stop my words, looked at me with unforgettable reproach, and, opening the door cautiously, went back in the other room. I walked out the back way, just as Gatsby had when he had made his nervous circuit of the house half an hour before, and ran for a huge black knotted tree, whose mass leaves made a fabric against the rain. Once more it was pouring, and my irregular lawn, well shaved by Gatsby's gardener, abounded in the small muddy swamps and prehistoric marshes. There was nothing to look at from under the tree except Gatsby's enormous house. So I stared at it, like a cant at his church steeple, for half an hour. A brewer had built it early in the period, crazed a decade before, and there was a story he had agreed to pay 5-year taxes on all the neighboring cottages if the owners would have their roof thatched with straw. Perhaps the refusal took the heart of his plan to found a family. He went into immediate decline. His children sold his house with a black wreath till the door. Americans, while occasionally willing to be serfs, have always been obstinate about being peasantry. After half an hour, the sun shone again, and the grocer automobile rounded Gatsby's drive with the raw material for his servant's dinner. I felt sure he wouldn't eat a spoonful. A maid began opening the upper windows of his house, appeared momentarily in each, and leaning from a large central bay, a spat of Mitavilli into the garden. It was time I went back. While the rain continued, it had seemed like the murmur of their voices rising and swelling a little now, and then with a gust of emotion, but in the new silence, I felt that silence had fallen within the house too. I went in, and after making every possible noise in the kitchen, short of pushing over the stove, but I don't believe they heard a sound. They were sitting either end of the couch, looking at each other as if some question had been asked, or was it in the air, and every vestige of embarrassment was gone. Daisy's face was smeared with tears, and when I came back, she jumped up and began wiping at it with her handkerchief. Before a mirror. But there was a change in Gatsby that was simply confounding. He literally glowed. Without a word or a gesture of exultation, a new well-being radiated from him and filled the little room. "Oh, hello, old sport," he said, as if he hadn't seen me for years. I thought for a moment he was going to shake hands. It stopped raining. "Has it?" When he realized what I was talking about, that there were twinkle bells of sunshine in the room, he smiled like a weatherman, like an ecstatic patron of reoccurring light, and repeated the news to Daisy. "What do you think of that? It stopped raining." "I'm glad, Jay," her throat full of aching, grieving beauty told only of her unexpected joy. I want you and Daisy to come over to my house, he said. I like to show her around. You're sure you want me to come? Absolutely, old sport. Daisy went upstairs to wash her face. Too late, I thought, with humiliation of my towel, while Gatsby and I waited on the lawn. My house looks well, doesn't it? He demanded. See how the whole front of it catches the light? I agreed that it was splendid. Yes. His eyes went over it, every arch door and square tower. It took me just 3 years to earn the money that bought it. I thought you inherit your money. I did, old sport, he said automatically, but I lost most of it in a big panic, the panic of the war. I think he hardly knew what he was saying, for when I asked him of what business he was, he answered, "That's my affair." Realized that it wasn't the appropriate reply. Let's stop there. Again, podcast friends, the word of the day is discipline. And that's why I'm reading this book. I said I was going to finish. I need to finish this book. And I'm going to do it 20 minutes. Every podcast, I'm going to read 20 minutes until it's done. Thank you guys again for listening. And I hope you guys like my voiceover practice. I'm having fun with it. And I hope you guys enjoy it. Thank you.